My name is Savannah Brockett. I am 13 years old. Today is January 13, 2018. I'm speaking with Martha Brockett, who is my grandma. We are recording this interview in Warden, Illinois. How do you think your childhood was different than mine?
I was one of seven children, and I lived on 2 acres in the country, and both my parents were in the same household. And so it was different in that aspect. It also was a different time, so that there was little TV time and very little electronics. So a lot of my life, my childhood was spent outside.
Why do you think so much has changed since then?
Well, again, the electronics have been a big part of it. There were no cell phones. The TV and the radio were the only media that we had. And coming from a big family, we had to do a lot of chores and had to carry a lot of the burden. So it was so that made it a different era.
Did you have a lot of money growing up?
Very little. Very little. Because there were seven children in the family, there was just barely enough food for all of us to eat. And so every meal that was put on the table was something that was precious, and there were never any leftovers.
What was a typical dinner for you?
A typical dinner would be something like a casserole or a roast with potatoes. There was always almost a full loaf of bread and some butter to fill in the blanks if there wasn't enough food. But it was a little food stretched out for a lot of people.
Did your parents work a lot to earn everything that you had?
My dad worked full time, and sometimes he worked nights. My mom didn't start to work outside of the house until my youngest brother was born, and that's because we needed more money then, but my mom was a stay-at-home mom.
When you were growing up, what role did religion and spirituality play in your life?
Very, very important. I came from a Catholic family, and all seven of the children went to church every Sunday with mom and dad. Every religious day was one where we were required to go to church, and so it was a very religious and spiritual time. A lot of our childhood was spent at our church.
Do you think your beliefs would have been the same even if your parents weren't religious?
I don't think so. I think especially because of the time that I grew up, we did as children what our parents told us. And our parents told us, you will go to church, you will believe in God, you will follow this spirituality. And so we did, without question.
Do you think your life now would be different if your parents were not religious?
Absolutely. Because I happen to be a church musician, that came about because I was raised as a Catholic, and that has a big role in my life, not just as part of one of the ways that I make money, but also my beliefs that I was raised with.
What advice would you give to your teenage self?
To my teenage self, I would say, don't marry at 18. Wait until you know for sure that this is where you want to go, and don't just feel as though you need to leave your mother and father's home and become an adult.
Did the fact that your parents didn't have a lot of money make you want to leave their home?
Yes. Yes, it did. It was a difficult upbringing. There was a lot of love, and I enjoyed my childhood, but it was there was an emphasis on really not having enough of anything and having to work hard. And so when I had the opportunity to leave, I thought that that seemed like an appealing one.
After you moved out of your parents' house, did you move immediately in with your husband?
Yes.
Did that make you feel kind of dependent your whole life?
Yes, absolutely.
Are there any positive moments or memories from your life that you think shaped who you are today? And are there any negative events or memories that you think shaped who you are today?
Absolutely. The positive ones were that I always felt loved, and I always felt the importance of family and family being part of my life. The negative aspects were really minimal. They were probably perceived not real, just because there were so many children and so little money. I felt like I didn't have what other kids might have had, but I probably did anyway.
Can you tell me about one or two people who have been the biggest influences on your life?
My mother was a huge influence on my life because of her home business and making fruitcake. And because of that, I've passed on that. I'm carrying on that tradition. My father was a huge influence on my life because of his music and his kindness and sweetness and patience. Charlie Fisher was a musician who was a mentor to me and taught me a lot about being a choir director and a musician.
Do you see all those people reflected in you today?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you tell me about some of the most important lessons you've learned in life?
I learned from my parents that it's important to make your own way, to work as hard as you need to in order to get what you need to get done, that it's nice to have other people that you can rely on, but ultimately it's up to you to make your own way. And probably that's the biggest lesson that I've taken from my childhood, is to work hard and long and well.
So all of those came from your parents, but did you figure any lessons out from some mistakes you made or anything you have done?
Yes. I married much too early. I wasn't an adult at what I thought I was. I didn't save money when I was younger, and it would have been easier to save money for retirement. I chose not to have a career, but instead to raise my children as a part-time mother and part-time worker. And while I'm happy that I raised my children, I probably should have looked into trying to do that along with a career so that I would be more financially stable.
If you could change that now, would you?
Probably not.
Why not?
Because at the time it seemed the right thing to do. And if I could do it over again, even though I know that perhaps the other way would have been better, I don't know that I could have spent less time with my children without feeling some sense of guilt and longing to be with my children.
Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
Burying my mom and my dad a month apart.
Do you think about them often?
I think about them every day. I have a picture of them in my dining room, and I say good morning to them as often as I remember to do that. And I look in their eyes, and I remember their love.
Tell me about your grandparents.
My grandparents were very interesting. I knew three of the four of them. One died before I was born. My mother's mother had a very difficult life and had quite a bit of health problems, quite a few health problems in her life. I still remember her as being a strong woman. My other set of grandparents, my grandpa was a gunsmith and admired by many, and my grandmother was one of the first health nut people that I knew and made her own yogurt back in the 1950s before anybody really knew what yogurt was all about.
Were your thoughts and beliefs over things similar with your grandparents?
I believe they were because my parents were strongly influenced by them, and I believed what my parents believed. All of my grandparents were immigrants, and I know my grandmother from my mom's side came over on a boat in the early 1900s, and her grandfather, when he got off the boat, was handed a banana because he was so hungry, and he ate the peel because he didn't know that he was supposed to eat the fruit. And that was a story that was passed down for a long time, and people laughed at it, but yet it was a tender story because it made me realize how far our family had come. My grandma, his daughter, who was my grandma, that was my great-grandpa, used to get mad, and she would curse at us in Bohemian so we wouldn't hear her cursing. And all of my grandparents are buried in the same cemetery as are my parents and as I will be. And that influence of Bohemia, Czechoslovakia, and Germany are important to me and my heritage.
Do you have any stories of any of your grandparents or great-grandparents that you still think about?
Yes. I always loved animals. And my grandpa was a gunsmith on my dad's side, and I remember one day I went in to his shop, and he was talking to a bunch of men, and when I walked into the shop, he said, "Look, there she is," and he threw a cat at me. And I caught the cat and was petting the cat, and he said, "See, she can handle any kind of animal." And it was touching to me. Not so much that he trusted me with that cat, but that because there were so many grandchildren and my grandpa was well known in the area, it was moving to me that he actually knew who I was. Being one of a family of seven, I mostly expected to be invisible.
So that made you feel very loved.
It was maybe loved, but maybe noticed even more than loved. Yeah.
Do you have any traditions from them?
Yes. Bohemia is where most of my grandparents are from. There are foods that we always had at Easter. Nadjivka was a Bohemian dressing, and kolachkis were Bohemian pastries, and my aunts and my grandparents and all of my family used to make that, and I always thought that was kind of wonderful that we had our own foods.
Do you or your siblings make those for family gatherings now?
My sister Barb made Nadjivka the last two Easters, and my brother Mike made kolachki last year, and we all enjoyed it tremendously.
Why do you think so many people act negatively towards minority groups, African American, Asian, LGBT, or et cetera?
I think often that sort of behavior is out of ignorance or fear. Everybody wants to be comfortable with who they are and who they are around. And just like when my grandpa was handed that banana and he ate the peel because he wanted to be like everybody else, I think we all feel that way. I think even as adults, we sometimes feel like children. We want to be part of what everybody else is. And so if somebody looks different, sounds different, or acts different, I think it's threatening and intimidating. And so people will act out, just like little kids act out against those they don't know about.
How were schools when you were growing up?
The school that I went to was from a small town called Glen Carbon, and Glen Carbon was known to not have anybody but white children and adults. There were no Asians, there were no African Americans, there were no Indians, there were no other people other than Caucasians. And so I grew up in a very monolithic, I suppose, society. I from kindergarten to sixth grade, I only knew white children.
Did that change once you got into seventh grade?
Yes, it did. I went to a larger town, and I found myself in a school with black kids and with a few children who were either Korean or Chinese or Japanese, it was fascinating to me.
How did that change the way you saw the world?
I realized that the whole world wasn't just one type of person and one color of person, but that there were not only people who looked differently than me, but people who thought differently than me and who were raised in a way that I wasn't raised. And I had some friends who weren't like me. And as a matter of fact, when I was in seventh and eighth grade, I had friends who questioned my religious background, and I asked my mother if I could go to other churches to explore other religions, because I was questioning the way I was raised. And to my surprise, my mother told me that I could visit as many churches as I wanted to see what I thought. And so I did. I probably visited 4 different churches in seventh and eighth grade to see if I found something that I liked better. I didn't. And I asked my mom if there were different heavens. And my mom told me that there was just one heaven. We just all entered from a different door. And that was something that I still think about today as a 62-year-old woman.
Did your religious background or your upbringing ever cause conflict with anyone you knew?
Yes. I had my best friend from fifth grade all the way through high school had a different religious background. And she and I had many conversations and a few fights because she didn't feel as though my religion was one that had any merit. And I wouldn't fight back. I would just let her tell me everything that was wrong with me and let it hurt my feelings. It didn't stop our friendship. And at one point, I said to her, I appreciate what you have, and I appreciate what I have, and there's no right or wrong. And the next week, she brought me a big pile of music as an apology.
Did you forgive her after that?
I had forgiven her before that. Mm. It was just nice to see that she heard me.
Should blacks pursue civil rights through any means necessary, Malcolm X, or through nonviolent resistance, Martin Luther King Jr.?
I feel as though nonviolent resistance is going to be more effective because when any of us uses violence or any sort of behavior that might hurt other people to get our point across, the violence is the most prevalent part of that resistance, and the message that's behind it gets lost in it. And so any time that we can talk and have some sort of a back and forth dialogue about what's going on, there's a better chance each voice will be heard, and progress can be made.
With Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, they did things very differently. Why do you think that the police acted similar to the things that both of them did, even though their acts were different?
I think the police reacted instead of, they acted in the same way out of fear. I think they acted out of fear. It didn't matter what Martin Luther King or Malcolm X were doing. They saw it as the same because they didn't know how to react to it. They were reacting to it. They weren't dealing with it as it was by itself. They just homogenized it together and panicked. I think they panicked.
Do you think they were afraid of them because they were different, or because they had a lot of people behind them because they knew that the civil rights movement was very powerful?
I think both of those, honestly. I think as humans, we get intimidated by something or someone who looks differently than us. And then the fact that there was such a number of people who were behind them frightened the police. I think so much of the police's the policemen and women's reaction, so much of it was about panic and ignorance and just not really knowing what to do. So they did whatever they could, and it was wrong.
Do you think the same thing happens when, about the question I asked you earlier about the different minorities? Do you think that's the same reaction that people have?
Absolutely. Anything that's not something that we're used to and that we really know what we're supposed to be doing is going to cause a visceral panic, uneducated reaction. And often that's violence.
What does religion / spirituality mean to you, and what role does it play in your life today?
Religion is very important to me. Spirituality sometimes comes along with that religion. As I said before, I'm a church musician, so religion is a large part of my life. Because I'm a church musician, however, I'm in church so much I don't always have the spirituality that I want, because I'm working at the same time as I'm worshiping. My parents raising me as a good Catholic girl instilled in me the importance of going to church every Sunday, going to church regularly, celebrating all of the holy days of obligation, and that's instilled in me. And also because I explored the different religions as a teenager and chose Catholicism, that is the religion that most speaks to my heart and my soul. And because of that, that's where I go. So it's a regular part of my life. It's an important part of my life. It's a financial part of my life. And it is just something that I do and I see myself doing from now until the end of time.
Do you regularly go to church to participate in the mass rather than go to work?
I do both. It's about 50-50. I'm there for mass anyway, and most of the masses I can hear and worship, but some of the masses I have to direct the choir, or I have to play the piano, or I have to do something else that's in a management situation. So for those masses, I don't necessarily participate spiritually. However, between the 2, 3, or 4 masses that I attend every weekend, I will participate more than I will work.
What are your thoughts about God?
I believe He's there. I believe He is forgiving. I believe that He wants the best for us. I hope that in my life I've done enough that He will let me into heaven. And I think He has the best of intentions for all of us.
Did you think the same things when you were a kid?
Yes, absolutely. I've always believed in a God, and I've always believed in His forgiveness and mercy.
Did you believe, or were you more religious as a kid, more same or different?
As a child, I was unquestioningly religious. As an adult, I have my questions, but I still believe, and sometimes I have to just suspend my concerns and work through that so that my belief will stay clear and present.
Even if you did not believe in God or you were not Catholic, would you sing at the churches?
If I had the opportunity to sing at the churches, I believe I would. I know other musicians who aren't religious or have beliefs that are religious, and they're good musicians as well. So I believe I would if I had the opportunity.
Did you raise your children religiously?
Their father was an atheist, and we talked before we had children, and he agreed to let me raise the children Catholic so that when they became adults, they could make a decision about their religious choice. And his support of me was not trying to stop me from doing that. So all three of the children were raised Catholic and actually went to a Catholic grade school, and 2 went to a Catholic high school. As adults, none of the 3 are practicing Catholics. The youngest, however, is a church musician, even though he is not a practicing Catholic. I don't regret raising them with a religious background because I feel as though their decisions as adults are based on knowledge rather than just pulling a rabbit out of a hat. So that's what I did, and I would do it again.
Do you think that was a large compromise for your husband to have them be raised a different religion than he was?
I really don't, because we talked about it, and as an atheist, as a practicing atheist, he had no current religion. And as a child, he really only went to church basically on Easter and Christmas and a few other occasional times. He was a scientist and thought logically about it and realized that he really didn't have any information to give these his offspring. And so he agreed with me that they needed to have some information and some knowledge.
If you were to redo it with this information that they were going to grow up not to practice Catholicism, do you think you would go easier on them or be more harsh with their religion?
I think I would do the same thing. I think with the understanding that what we were doing was trying to give them background and let them choose with that background that they were going to do, I'd do the same thing over and again, because that was that's all anybody can do is give someone or something that kind of information and let them do with it what they will.
Is there anything you want to ask me that you've never asked me before?
Yes. How do you feel about God?
I don't think there is a God. I believe that other people believe what they will. I just kind of like your ex-husband, I don't have any proof, and I don't think that if we can't prove it, then it's not there. But I don't really know.
Okay.
Is there anything else that you've never asked me?
There is, but I can't think of what it is. I thought of it a minute ago and I've lost it. Okay.
Is there anything else you want to tell me?
I guess what I want to tell you is follow your heart. Do the best you can with what you have, where you are. Forgive yourself and be kind to yourself as you go through life. And do the best you can in the circumstances where you are. And if things don't work out, realize that maybe those things weren't supposed to happen, and that's a sign from whoever it is, whether it's a God or a higher power, that maybe other things need to be pursued. But I hope for you that you follow your dreams and your heart and get what you want in life.